Okay, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy word which you has given to us, that indeed we may know thy will and thy plans for this world. And so we pray, Lord, as we study the book of Revelation, you will indeed grant us good insight by thy Holy Spirit, and may we indeed respond rightly to the teachings of thy Holy Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And we shall read responsively from verse 1 to verse 17. Verse 1 to verse 17. Revelation chapter 7 today. I shall begin with verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, and one of the elders answered, saying, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Together, verse 17, and for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. What we have in Revelation chapter 7 can be considered a parenthesis to the whole section on the seal judgments. What are parentheses? Do you all know? Yes? Daniel, do you know what is a parenthesis? Brackets. What do you mean by brackets? But usually, sometimes in an essay, you may have certain things that are written, and then after that, either a paragraph or statement in brackets, and then the essay continues, right? So this parenthesis is like a break in the entire structure of the essay, and yet a very necessary portion, a footnote or whatever in the entire thrust and argument of the essay. So it is placed there. In some sense, it could be called a necessary digression. Okay, a necessary digression. If it sounds a bit like oxymoron, yet in some sense, it is something that is necessary. It may not deal very much with the whole main argument that is being shown down here, and yet it is something important to put at the side. Okay, so take note of this, because this is exactly the function of Revelation chapter 7 down here. And we will study why Revelation chapter 7 is an important parenthesis. But before that, let's do a very quick revision what we have in Revelation chapter 6. We have dealt with it. We have studied when most likely all these events will occur. We have come to the conclusion most likely these events, they are held in the Great Tribulation, although there are some premillennialists who also believe that these are held with regards to events leading all the way until the Great Tribulation. Nevertheless, if you study how the Antichrist will operate, and then you study Revelation chapter 6, we have seen how there is very, very great similarity, in fact, coherence in what is recorded for us, both in the book of Daniel as well as here in Revelation chapter 6. Now, what do we see with regards to the seal? Firstly, we will see that the first horse is what kind of horse? Brittany. What color? You sure white, not pale? White, white. Okay, white horse. Okay? A white horse, and this person, he carries a bow, very interestingly, no arrows, and he went forth to conquer. Went forth conquering and to conquer. So the whole thrust of it is that he is a conqueror, he loves conquering, and he will succeed in conquering. But the way this person on the white horse conquer is very interesting, because he has a bow, and this bow seems not to have any arrows, because usually in the scriptures when you have bow, the term arrows will usually come around with it. So he seems not to use any arrows on the bow. And then not only just that, he has a crown, and this crown is the Stephanos kind of crown, not the diadem kind of crown. In other words, not a royal crown, he is a crown of overcoming. So emphasis on the fact that he is a conqueror and he will succeed in conquering. And conquering using what? Conquering using a bow with no arrows. In other words, he is a person with great military power, but seems to be someone who does not use it. So he tries to conquer by peace. And already we see the kind of spirit going on in the world, right, where a lot of people desire peace because there are a lot of wars and rumors of wars. And you will notice that there are already people in the world who try to conquer the world using these messages of peace. So they will proclaim peace. But in reality, anybody who stands in their way, if they really do put up a fight, you will realize that these people who proclaim peace, they have no second thoughts of using any power or any military might to kill them. So it will be so with regards to the Antichrist. He will come, he will proclaim peace initially. But what will happen? Verses 3 onwards, you have the second seal. Right? He opened the second seal. The second beast said, come and see. You will realize that this one, the power was red. Red because you will realize that a lot of blood will be spilled. So when people start to rise up and then to try to oppose him because they realize that it is not the truth, just like what we see in the world today, when people start to arise and oppose all these so-called messengers of peace, they will have no second thoughts to go and kill all these people. So actually quite hypocritical, but that is what they will do. So this Antichrist will do the same thing. It's the same spirit. He will rise up, and then he will kill. That's why you will see that the color of this horse is red. Okay, so the peace will be taken away from the earth, because in the first place, this peace was not a true peace. It is a false peace, a peace negotiated on the basis of Antichrist sentiment. So take note. Then you have the third seal. Third seal, you will realize the horse is what color? Joshua, what color? Yes, black. After white, you have red. After red, black. Black, white. Because usually you'll find after war, there'll be a lot of hunger. The economy will turn upside down. And that is exactly what you find down here. A width of measure for a penny. A penny will here be taken to be a day's wages. A day's wages will only be able to buy you a measure of wheat, which is able to use only to cook for one meal. Worse still, when it comes to the barley, three measures for a barley, for a penny, right? Three measures for a barley for a penny. So basically, you can't even feed yourself for one day. One is one meal, the other one is three meals, and that's it for a day. So a lot of suffering, right? A day's wages, a penny, can possibly only buy you either a measure of wheat or three measures of barley. How to survive, right? You just imagine, if let's say I earn a day's wages, a penny, 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 penny. I have not enough money to even buy this wheat and this barley. Why? Because the wheat and the barley, they will be gone, right, due to war. But the Lord is still very merciful. In this case, you realize that the oil and the wine, they are still not touched. They will, right, the main famine will come later in the book of Revelation. Even then, there is already very great suffering down here. Okay? So take note. Famine. Widespread. Then you have fourth seal. I heard the voice of the fourth beast, and he says, come and see. And then I look, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death. And his name on him was death, and hell followed with him. Now, we have seen that this pale horse is where we get the English word for chlorine. So, have anybody found how chlorine gas looks like? What color? That was, of course, no, you see, they know. Young people. Hello? Didn't do homework? Chemistry people? Chlorine? What color? Come on, if anyone of the adult Bible study need to help you, terrible. Because the last time they learned chemistry was how long ago? Very long ago, right? Supposed to forget, but they remember, no? Well, they must help you all, come on. Yellowish? Green, right? Yeah, yellowish green. See, chemistry A-level, coming soon, that's why she remember. You must remember, come up, A-level. Is that one of the possible questions? You see, one of the possible questions, so better remember. Maybe it will come out, one mark, then you will remember is Bible study, yellowish green. Yeah, and you will realize that the color of death sometimes can be yellowish green, that kind of color. Right? The choking gas. So here used to represent death, and there'll be a lot of death due to what? Due to the sword, due to hunger, due to, interestingly, the beasts of the earth. Right, the word beast here, very general term for any type of animal upon the earth. So possibly this beast, right, may be used to spread pestilence. Nothing strange, right, because already today we have certain type of diseases spread by animals. Bird flu, one of it. Mad cow disease. Could this be a pestilence due to beasts? We don't know. But anyway, we know that death caused by this beast of the earth. Okay, so take note of this. Then the fifth seal. Fifth seal opened, and then I saw the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Right, so the fifth seal is very interesting. You realize that the first four seals, you have the beast which says come. Right, and we have learned that these beasts, which were called living beasts in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, they were cherubims, and they represent the glory of God. Right, so glory of God revealed through wrath, right, through His wrath that is permitted during the great tribulation, right, via this act of the Antichrist going about with his activities. Right, so don't forget behind the scene. Even though the Antichrist can do whatever he wants against Christ, yet at the end of it, God's plan still goes unabated. The glory of God still stands because everything is according to what He has already planned out, according to all His decrees. Don't forget that. And this was permitted by the Lord so that the world will be judged. Okay? Understand this. Then the fifth seal, you have all the saints coming out, And they once again declare, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" White robes given to every one of them. We will very quickly see the significance of these white robes in Revelation chapter 7. White robes given to them, yet they were asked to wait. Wait, why? Because there are still fellow servants and brethren who have yet to bear testimony. So they are asked to wait. By the time you come to Revelation chapter 7, you will see that there are more of them. Right? And these will be people who are said to have gone through the Great Tribulation. So take note, the Great Tribulation is mentioned down here, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Okay, down here, still wait. Okay, so if we are true believers, we will be part of these people up there and crying. "When will your justice be seen upon the earth? You have also promised in thy word that the saints will be vindicated. Will we be vindicated? Will it come?" God says, wait, it is coming. And immediately after that, you have the sixth seal, whereby there is these cosmic signs that are being seen on the in the sky, right? The stars of heaven fell down, the sun became black as sackcloth, the moon became as blood. Okay, so take note of this, right? All these cosmic signs, and then the stars of heaven fell down. Something very unimaginable. Hard to imagine the stars falling down from heaven, right? I find it very hard to imagine, and yet this is what the scriptures say. So it's something that we have to accept. You know, sometimes when we read the book of Revelation, there may be things that we do not understand. Because right now we are living in this time, right? The world works in a certain way. Don't forget, in this particular era, we have rain. Remember during the time of Noah, before the flood came, there was no rain. So in those days, you tell them there will be water from the sky. They will probably, what water from the sky? Cannot imagine what water from the sky, right? Like now we look at this one, stars from heaven come down. What stars from heaven? But in those days, it will really happen. So we better just accept what the scriptures say down here. Stars from heaven, they fell down. Okay, fell down. That is what the scripture says. And every mountain and island will move out of their places. Well, can you just imagine that? Every mountain and island, they will move out of their places. Have you been in an earthquake before? I don't know. I don't travel very often. The only earthquake I have been was a 5.4 earthquake in Taiwan. And when I was in Taiwan, you know, we Singaporeans are the swaku ones. We hardly experience earthquakes. So when the first time I experienced earthquake, a little bit shaking, well, we were so scared, we ran out. Ran out down to the counter, the hotel staff was laughing at us. What, 5.4 earthquake only? This is Taiwan, or 5.4. To them, this is something interesting that is happening. Well, like some party event like that. Well, they are down there. Well, then they laugh at all these silly people from Singapore coming down. Well, earthquake. Well, never seen earthquake before, 5.4. But if you've been to some of the more destructive ones, you will know that it's no joke. Right? For example, in Indonesia, we know there was this earthquake that triggered a tsunami, also with Japan. Right? No joke if really a serious one happened. Now, this is only in one place, like Japan, and then Indonesia. And then after that, you can feel certain of its effects in other places if a tsunami is triggered. Now, you just read what the Bible says down here. Don't miss the words, okay? It says here, every mountain and island will move out of their places. Every mountain and island. So this could possibly mean there will be large earthquake on a very grand stature, so big that the mountains, every mountain can move out of their places. Can you imagine that? Every mountain? And then it says here, every island. Well, confirm Singapore finish. No longer will we have our strategic position down here below Malaysia, because the Bible here says we will be moved out of our place, right? That's what it says here. Island move out of their places. Can you imagine the type of chaos that it will cause, the kind of death? No wonder when all these things happen, right? And this was, don't forget, in response to the fifth seal, where the saint says, when will we be vindicated? God says, wait first. Then, furthermore, the wrath starts to pour down. Right? You have the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every born man, whether born or free man. Okay? So whether they are slaves or whether they are free citizens, whether they are rich people or whether they are poor, every one of them become very scared. They start to run onto the mountains. Now, Don't miss out the detail again. The mountains, they are moved out of their places, right? And yet, when the mountains are moved out of the places, these people rather run to the mountains and hide themselves there. Can you imagine that? The mountains are moving out of the places. Right? That's why it says in verse 14, mountains move out of the places, yet the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, and every free man, right? So the rich and the poor, the powerful, all run towards the mountains and they choose to hide at the mountains, even though the mountains are moving out of the places. So what is happening in the world that can cause them so much fear that they would rather hide in all these mountains that are quaking? Cannot imagine. Really cannot imagine. Yet this is the truth that is stated here in the Holy Scriptures. We can only accept that this is exactly what is meant by the wrath of God. And when you read passages like this concerning the wrath of God, where men are so willing to run and hide themselves in the mountains, even though they are quaking, and they are willing to ask the mountains and the rocks to fall on them so that they do not need to experience the wrath of God anymore, then you can understand, firstly, how great the wrath of God can be. When God is angry, He can be really very angry. And then you begin to appreciate right now, when all these things haven't happened in the world, how merciful and long-suffering God is. Isn't it? Because God can easily have allowed these things to happen right now. Is this not a world that is sin-sick? And the only reason why we do not experience all these things in the world today is because God is very merciful, still willing that man should come to salvation. And yet silly man still thinks that he can save the whole world by his own effort. Right? Cut what greenhouse gas, what, and then study the earth tectonic movements and then try to find all sorts of ways to predict and counter. You realize that all these people that study earthquake, the only thing they can do is to mitigate the disaster, to prevent death. They still cannot really predict when the earthquake can occur, and if the earthquake occurs, they are lost as to what to stop it. Nobody can stop earthquakes from occurring. Right? If it occurs, it still occurs. Right? I can only try to prevent the damage that occurs. That means try to mitigate it. Maybe all the trees are torn down, but at least the building is still standing. Or if the building, certain parts collapse, at least the main structure is still there and then the people are still alive. That's all I can do. Right? And men still is proud, still do not want to come to salvation in Christ, and they rather talk about how to save the world. Now, I'm not saying please don't recycle, okay? Now, understand our basis for recycling. When we say recycling, should Christians recycle? I do not know. Some people say shouldn't recycle. For me, I think recycling is okay. Why? Because the Bible says that we should, whatever resource the Lord gives to us, we try to make good use of it. So if it can be put to better and good use, more efficient use, why not? That's my point of recycling. If you say that you want to recycle because you think that you want to be part of the green movement, you better be very, very careful. Okay? You want to be part of the green movement, want to save the earth. Forget it. Forget about saving the earth. You want to save the earth. The way to save the earth really is to spread the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's it. Because what is causing the world all these kind of problems is the sin of man. You have to see it. And what it is experiencing right now is just a very, very, very tiny portion of the wrath that will be poured out late in Revelation chapter 6. Very, 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 very tiny portion. Imagine when the Lord truly lets out His wrath, because that is what is said in verse 17, right? For the great day of His wrath is come. Great day of His wrath. Very pointedly pointing to the day of the Lord. Now, if you study the doctrine of the day of the Lord, you will realize that the day of the Lord is often used with regards to events, either of very great judgment. And when it talks about great judgment, it refers to great judgment with regards to the enemies of Christ or with regards to the house of God when it turns apostate, when it turns rebellious. Very, very great judgment. And you realize this language often used in the book of Joel, which is a book dealing with the theme on the day of the Lord. You realize in places like Zephaniah, you realize in books like Obadiah. And when you study those books very carefully, you realize some refers to the day of the Lord that is coming very immediate. Very soon it will occur. Sometimes in the intermediate future, it will occur. But there are certain descriptions of the day of the Lord that does not fit anything that occurs in the history of Israel. But you will realize, for example, in the book of Job, the cosmic signs, it fits very well, right, the day of the Lord, with what is occurring here in Revelation chapter 6. Right? So understand, when we talk about the day of the Lord, what exactly is the day of the Lord has to be determined by the context. But the doctrine and the understanding behind it is, because of how man has sinned against God, God will therefore pour down his wrath upon man. And the other side of the doctrine of the day of the Lord is this, as what we have seen here in verses 9 to 11. You see that verses 9 to 11 talks about how the saints ask the Lord to vindicate them, right? And the Lord says, wait, vindication will come soon. And then there is this vindication, right, in verses 12 to 17. So the day of the Lord will not only be a time of great judgment with regards to those who have sinned against God, those who are his enemies, but it is also a day of vindication of the saints. Vindication of the Lord and vindication also of the saints. So it has occurred in the past with regards to the day of the Lord. You realize the day of the Lord is applied with regards to Israel when they sinned against God. Right, so the Babylonians came down. It was the whole event of the Babylonians was described as the day of the Lord, the invasion. Then you realize that the day of the Lord also applied to the Edomites because they, right, in the book of Obadiah, because they were proud against the children of Israel, and so therefore the day of the Lord was promised upon them. And the reason was because Esau was supposed to be a brother unto Jacob. But instead of helping Israel, you realize that the Edomites turn against Jacob and in fact help the enemies to destroy Jacob. And so because of that, the Lord says, okay, since you do not want to help your brother, with whom you should help, the day of the Lord will now come upon you. That's the book of Obadiah. So vindication also down there. So down here, both judgment vindicate as well as vindication. Vindication of the Lord, vindication also of the saints. So when we therefore cry out that we want judgment for things that are done against us, please understand what we are asking. That when we are asking for vindication of the saints, right? Look at how we are persecuted here upon this earth. Look at how those who are against Christ, they are going against us, and they destroy us, they persecute us. Look at how we are suffering. Will you therefore not intervene? Will you therefore not judge? Understand what you are asking when you say, please judge the entire situation. Because when you say, please judge the entire situation, you're calling God to vindicate, you are asking for exactly the kind of events that you are looking down here in verses 12 to 17. Which will come. Remember, this whole vindication, this whole events of 12 to 17, they happen because the saints asked for vindication. We included among them. And so therefore, when even our own enemies who go against us because of the testimony of Christ, in the end, they suffer the vindication of the Lord. Please make sure that we do not laugh at it. Because sometimes people desire ill to happen upon other people because they have been persecuted by them. And then when these people truly suffer ill, they say, wow, very good, Sila, you do this, ha 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 ha. It must never be this. It is really no joke. That person suffer ill, and after that, let's say if he has not believed in Christ, and then later on he passed away in his sin, you know what awaits him. Of course, he will not go through this. But definitely with regards to the lake of fire he will experience, it is no joke. Remember, verses 12 to 17, even though we look down here, and it's something that we have not experienced in the earth, and it says here the great day of the wrath is come, it's still but a prelude to what will happen later on with regard to the judgment day of God, with regards to the lake of fire. It is just a prelude. Okay, don't forget it. It is just a prelude. Just like now what we see around the world, when there's some earthquake here and there or whatever, all these little famines, if it can be called little, which they are not little, of course, you know that. Like little famines, little pestilences, all these tsunamis that we see, they are just but a prelude to what will happen towards the end of the times. So understand all these things. Okay? Finally, he says, for the great day of the wrath is come. You don't want to be in the wrath of God. Who shall be able to stand? And then, chapter 7, therefore, we have the parenthesis. Because those that we see in Revelation chapter 7 are those that will be spared from the wrath of God. That's why it's purposely put here. And don't forget the reason why John penned down the book of Revelation was really for the encouragement of the discouraged saints in the first century. Of course, it's also meant for us, right, today. Those who wanted to stand for the testimony of Jesus Christ and also for the word of God, they will often have to face persecution. And so the encouragement down here is this in chapter 7. While the wrath of God is poured down, but the wrath of God is really meant for those who are God's enemies. With regards to those who are God's children, they will be spared from this wrath. They will be preserved. And so look at verse 1. Firstly, from verse 1 to verse 8, you will realize that those that will experience the protection and preservation of God will be, right, you'll see here, a select group of people from Israel. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, is this for good or is this for judgment? You look at verse 2 and which will give us a hint whether it is good for good or for judgment. Okay, verse 2, it says here, and I saw another angel, so another of the same type, so this will be a good angel, ascending from the east. Now, remember, John was in the island of Patmos, so in the east would be in the direction of Israel, right? From the east, having the seal of the living God. Seal here represents the authority as well as something to authenticate whether something is genuine or not, and also a seal for protection. If you, right, today we probably don't see seals so often, but if you learn about documents in the past, or even properties and goods, you will oftentimes find that businessmen or high-ranking people, people with authority, they would like to use their signet ring or whatever that is can be formed as a seal, and then they will put it upon all these goods or all these letters. With regards to the letters, when you have a seal, it will firstly authenticate this is indeed maybe from the king or maybe from this businessman or maybe from this person of authority coming from him. Now it is being passed to you. And then you take a look at it. If the seal has not been broken, you know that the letters of the contents of the letter, they are still left intact. Right, so it's meant to protect it. It's also meant to authenticate it. This is a true, genuine letter from an ambassador, from a king. Right, and each ambassador, each king will probably have their particular sign. Same with the goods. Right, when they go and trade, how do I know that this particular good is from this particular businessman? They will put seals upon it. Right. And this was exactly what they find when they dig up the ruins of Pompeii. You know Pompeii? Like Pompeii, they went to dig up, they saw that, you know, they begin to trace the history. Oh, this person is here. And some of them, they can even track the history quite interestingly. They may not know the name of the person, but they can even track his life. They know that this person living in the house was a businessman. Why? Because they go and track, oh, there's this seal, then this seal over this thing, over that thing, and whatever. And so they track the life of the person, the seal. So it indicates that this particular good, this vase, or perhaps this packet of wheat, this consortment belongs to this particular person and sealed. And when they see the seal and the seal is not tempered, they know that this thing is protected. I can now do my trading. Right, so that is the function of the seal. Okay, for protection, for authentication. Take note. Okay, so this angel, he had the seal of the living God. I take note, it is the living God, it's not the dead God, right? As can already be seen by the fact of the six seals that have just gone by, right? Six seals that have been just explained. It's a living God, right? Because if God is a dead God, then God could not have possibly preserved all these people from the tribe of Israel, right? From the various tribes of Israel. And take note, after the tribes of Israel, it will involve a great multitude from all the other nations. Okay, so you have the Jews, you also have the Gentiles. Take note. Okay, Jews, And I use Jews, I do not mean just from Judah, okay? I use Jews as in referring to the people of Israel, right? The Israelites as well as the Gentiles. If he was a dead God, he cannot preserve them, he cannot protect them. But the very fact that he is the living God, he can preserve them, he can protect them, and not only just that, but at the end of it, you will see that he is also the giver of everlasting life to them. So therefore, living God down here, right? Living God, he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, stop hurting the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, do not start hurting the earth, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So apparently, this 144,000, they were children of Israel that are found during the period whereby God's wrath will be poured upon the earth, like during this time of the Great Tribulation. The Bible here purposely says that the Lord says, do not continue to pour down the wrath upon the earth, right? To start pouring down God's wrath upon the earth until we have done something which God wants to do. Don't start it yet. First, let us put this seal upon all these servants of God, all these slaves of God, willing slaves. That means, in other words, all these 144,000, please take note, they are people who believe in Christ Jesus. Okay? They are not people who are unbelievers. They are people who believe in Christ Jesus. So this protection only applies to those who are true servants of God, truly true believers, genuine, born again. Then this protection applies to them. So in this case, firstly, to these children of Israel who are going through this period, you put the seal upon their heads. So in other words, these few, they will be protected from the wrath of God which is to come. And not only just that, but don't forget, later on, in the later chapters, you will realize that the Antichrist is going to be one that is very fierce, and he will go about really persecuting Israel. So this 144,000 will receive this special protection from his wrath. Now, who are these 144,000? Very hard to say. We only know that they come from the tribe of Israel. What is their function? Is it to be evangelists? Is it to do something special from the Lord? We can only speculate. Where the Bible is silent, it's better to remain silent. But we definitely know, right, following what is written down here, from Israel. And which tribes of Israel? Also given to us. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. So 144,000 who experienced this special protection. Where were they from? They were from Judah, 12,000. Another 12,000 from Reuben. Another 12,000 from Gad. Another 12,000 from Asher. Another 12,000 from Naphtali. Another 12,000 from Manasseh. Another 12,000 from Simeon. Another 12,000 from Levi. Another 12,000 from Issachar. Another 12,000 from Zebulun. Another 12,000 from Joseph. Another 12,000 from Benjamin. Any tribe left out? Dan. Interesting. Dan is left out. Now, why is Dan left out from the list? Again, we cannot say for certain. Okay, we cannot say for certain. I can only say what is my opinion, what is my view. Even then, I will not be dogmatic about it, because really, you cannot say for certain right here from the Holy Scriptures. But my personal view is that because of what is done in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 18, you will realize from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 18, the tribe of Dan, they moved from the land that was allocated to them. They moved from the land that was allocated to them, and they wanted to conquer the people of Laish. Now, they were not supposed to do that, because God make it very clear to them that every tribe will be given a specific land by Lord. In other words, God is the one who decides where they should stay. If you happen to be at the beach, and then you desire mountain air, you cannot say that I want to move from the beach to the mountain. Right? That's what people will say, right? People who live in the mountain, they will start to think and wonder, wow, how nice it is to live in the beach. You know, the last time I've been there, right, for us Singaporeans, how nice is it to be in a temperate country? Right? You like the temperate country, right? A lot of nice weather, you know, 15 degrees Celsius, 10 degrees Celsius or whatever. Wow, you dream to be in all those countries. Wow, so nice. No, Singapore always so hot. A lot of rain. every day sun. So we dream, well, we can go to those countries and then we live there. Well, you ask my sister right now in Netherlands. She's been there for quite some time. With the Dutch people. They hardly see the sun. They hardly have sun. Especially during certain periods of the year. And so when the sun comes out, when there is a little heat that is like Singapore, wow, this is time to have fun. They will go out, they will enjoy. And you tell them, come to Singapore to live. Wow, they can only imagine. Well, come to Singapore, tropical country, I want to be here. And here we are. Wow, how I wish I can go to all these kind of countries and live. You see, grass is always greener on the other side. So done, not enough room for us. Mountain air is better because they are quite close to the coast. Left for Laish, mountain. They conquered the people there. Until today, you still can go. You can witness like the land of Dan down there. Quite a very nice place. I can, in fact, understand a bit of why they want to go there. You go there to Dan today, tell Dan. Very nice. Right, Brother Isaac, you've been there. Very nice. You must go. No, really, if you go Israel, if there's one place you must go to Dan, and then you must smell the fresh air. And then they have the rolling springs down there. One of the sources of water for the River Jordan. Beautiful. Wow, you feel like you are in Israel with nice cold weather, but still in Singapore. Really, still in Singapore, minus the hot weather. Wow, all the trees. Wow, can you imagine the kind of greenery, whatever? The only way you can understand is to go and see for yourself. Go and see for yourself. Can you imagine greenery like Singapore, but in a place with cold air? No wonder they want to go there and stay. So they went there and then they conquered the people. And then it was noted. You will realize that with regards to the judgment of Dan, right, in those books, nothing really much has been stated. So could this be the consequence of it? Well, we do not know. This is just opinion, okay? If you disagree, it's okay. Right? We can agree to disagree. We are not going to fight about it. The only thing we can note down here is the fact is you realize Dan is not there. So Dan will not have this special protection during this period. But does that mean there will be no Danites during that will be saved and that will enter into the time of the millennium? Not so, because if you read Ezekiel chapter 48, whereby it talks about a temple of which the dimensions, if you go and check very carefully, has never fit any temple that has been found upon the earth. Not yet. So it will be a future temple to come. You will realize that the tribe of Dan will be part of the people that will be allowed to take part in activities in that particular temple. Okay, so take note. So, the tribes of Israel, they will be preserved. But is it just Israel that will receive this special protection? Is it just Israel that will be preserved? Is it only this Israel that will receive vindication? Not so, because in verse 9, you will see that the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the protection and the preservation of God applies to anyone, even outside of Israel, who truly embrace the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So therefore, in verse 9, you see, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Now, remember in verses 1 to 8, the number of people, the children of Israel, they can be numbered and they are preserved. But this multitude, very different. And you realize that the whole scene from verse 9 onwards began to shift back to the heavenly scene of worship. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, so many. So we must be very thankful, right? How gracious God is, right? He does not just save a few, He saved many. Many from all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now, this is interesting. They are supposed to be from many tongues, but they are crying out with a loud voice, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. What language is this? Right, because he cried in unison, right? I mean, this is just a joke, but I think probably Hebrew. So if any of the Hebrew students now cannot learn Hebrew, don't worry, next time maybe you can speak Hebrew. That's what I think, okay? Again, opinion. But definitely in one singular loud voice, same language. Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now this sin is significant. Why? Because of the word palms that is found in verse 9, and then the word salvation to our God, the expression salvation to our God that is found in verse 10. If you recall the incident of Palm Sunday, right? Do you remember Palm Sunday? Jesus Christ went riding into Jerusalem, and then the people with their palms welcome him. And then what do they say? Right? What do they sing? Hosanna, isn't it? Hosanna means Lord save. Right? Lord save. Salvation to our God. Exactly what we see down here. It is a rehashing, in some sense, a rehashing of what has happened during that victorious entrance of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Now, we know what happened after Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem on their victorious Palm Sunday. After that, Jesus Christ was crucified. Wow, that was because when he came the first time, yes, even though it is a truth that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and indeed he has come to save the world, but he has come to save the world, to save them from the sins, he has come the first time to be the Lamb of God to die upon the cross. And so that has already been done. But don't forget that he is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, what was happened at Palm Sunday is a true description of Jesus Christ. Just that for the first time he came, it was not to be that victorious king that will conquer the world. And so, right now, what these people were saying is, indeed, what has happened on Palm Sunday is true. You have come and you have indeed saved us, and salvation truly belongeth to thee. Salvation cometh from thee, and salvation is given to us from thee. Indeed, Lord, you have saved and you will continue to save. What remains to be fulfilled as what was depicted on Palm Sunday is that victorious entrance. And right now, we are looking forward to your victorious entrance back onto earth again and back into Jerusalem again. We are waiting for that day, whereby you will be seen and viewed truly as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Palm Sunday. Salvation belongeth to God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And here, very interestingly, the structure of the Greek indicates that both God and the Lamb are one and the same. So the Lamb is God. Don't forget that. Okay, another proof of the deity of Christ. Lamb, God. And the angels, they stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces and they worshipped him. And what did they say? Again, one more time. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Okay, again, very similar to what the scene that was before in Revelation chapter 5. Okay, 4 and 5. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So he asked a rhetorical question, okay? Obviously, he knew the answer, of which John very humbly answered back, saying, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. So the focus is not only on those which are saved, right? Now, remember that there are saints which are saved from the time past, right? That includes us. But here, the saints which are saved during the great, the focus is on the term great tribulation. Great tribulation. They are saved out of great tribulation. Literally, the great tribulation. Not just great tribulation, but the great tribulation. So, not only do they consist of the people who have been seen in the heavenly scene before, now this heavenly scene consists of people from out of the great tribulation. So when we talk about the first resurrection, take note, Although we talk about it as an event which begins from the rapture, take note that the first resurrection, based upon this evidence, is not a point, it is a line. Okay? Now, how would all these things happen? How would they be found in heaven? The only thing that I could say right now is possibly when they die straight away, they will be risen from the dead and be found in heaven. Now, you will say, how can that be? How can that be? How can people straight away die and then be risen again into heaven? Remember once again the story of Noah. Noah, no rain. Right? So when rain was spoken to them, they say it cannot have happened. Now we are looking from the perspective of what is going to happen in the future. Can all these things happen during those days? Very possible. So take note. But what is clear is, after the rapture, you will still find more being added, right, out of the great tribulation. Importantly to take note though, is the theme that is found down here. The preservation of the saints. Remember that the event of the 10 plagues. During the 10 plagues, you will find that the 10 plagues came upon whom? They came upon the Egyptians. But with respect to the children of Israel, the Bible makes it clear that God put a separation between them and the Egyptians. So much so, like, for example, in the event whereby there was great darkness in Egypt. So much so that the darkness was so thick until the children of Egypt, they do not dare to move. Yet, with respect to those in Goshen, there was light, there was day. God put a separation to them. They were, the plague did not apply to them. They were spared, they were preserved from the wrath of God. So, when it comes to this particular section down here, the Bible is telling us very clearly whom the Lord has preserved from his wrath. You have firstly these 144,000 children of Israel, which of course, right, will come to represent, right, the rest of the children of Israel. So you have the Jews, right? Those who are truly believing Jews, they will experience the protection of God. Then, when it comes to those of us who are Gentiles, who believe in God, sure, of course, we may have to undergo persecution, we have to undergo a lot of tribulation upon this earth, in the sense of various challenges that take place, and yet, at the end of it, we will still be found in our final destination. God will preserve us, God will protect us, and in the end, God will vindicate us. The wrath that is to be poured upon the earth for the unbelievers will not be applied to us. It will not be applied to us. Take note and understand this. So the important thing is this. Are you found in the blood of the Lamb? Will you be found, accounted among all these people who are found in the multitude of white robes? Because if you are found there, then what a glorious scene this is, right? What a scene of great joy. Because these people, they will be standing before the throne of God, serving Him day and night. Do you like to serve God? Because we better learn to love to serve God. Because the next time that we get up there, we are going to serve Him day and night and forever. Okay, actually, every moment of our life is supposed to be servitude to God right now upon the earth. But if we still have not learned this truth, and if we are still not doing it, we better learn to do it right now, because what will happen next time in the future, every day we will worship Him, every day we will serve Him. Okay, that is what they do. They will serve Him day and night in His temple. Take note, His temple. You will realize that this is still not yet at the end. Right? Why? Because in Revelation chapter 22, you will realize that, right, you turn to Revelation chapter 22, with regards to the new heaven and new earth. Sorry, not Revelation chapter 22. Chapter 21 and verse 22. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22. The Bible here says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." See that? No temple. So this one, although the scene is described to us and there are still saints out of the great tribulation, take note, still not yet the end. Okay? Still not yet the end. Just to tell us, from out of the great tribulation, there will still be others who believe and they will be saved. Okay? Take note. They will be protected. And they shall serve him day and night in his temple. Which temple is it? Well, for me, I believe that this temple will be the heavenly temple. Okay, because this is the heavenly scene, right? You see there's a throne, right? You see there's a throne, there's elders falling down, exactly like the heavenly throne down there. Okay, so this will be the heavenly temple. And we know that in heaven there is a temple. How do we know this? Because in the book of Habakkuk, we sing every worship service, right? The Lord is in his holy temple. That is taken from the book of Habakkuk. Right? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Right? Of course, it could represent, right? Some would say it represents the temple upon the earth, but don't forget, right, with respect to the evidence on the other portions of scripture, is there a temple in heaven? Yes. Right, so the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Heavenly temple down here. And later on you will realize the earth, not only the earth did keep silence before him, but in this case, after this scene, there will be the seventh seal. After the seventh seal, there will be silence in heaven. Well, we will study why there is silence in heaven. Silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So there was one very naughty teacher of mine. Actually, not teacher of mine, senior of mine from FBC. I will not say who. He says, there are no women in heaven. So next time, the women, when you see this theologian, he come to say that, maybe you should rebuke him because he says there's no woman in heaven. Why? Because after the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Very naughty. I don't think it's a nice joke to make. Right? Trying to say a woman cannot keep silence. Not good. Okay? We will study the reason why there is silence, okay? But importantly, take note, these people who are part of the who have been saved out of the Great Tribulation, they are given white robes. The white robes here explain to us. So now we know the significance of white robes because these white robes are robes that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now usually you wash robes in blood, what color would they be? I would think they would be red. So this is special, right? Blood of the Lamb, make white. White because you are cleansed from your sin. And they are there before the throne of God, they shall serve him, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. No more sun. So you don't like sun, go there, very good. But don't forget, there'll be light from the Lamb later on in the new heaven and new earth. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So take note, when the imagery is, right, when the allegory is used, right, in the book of John, when he says, I am the bread of life. And then Jesus says, I am the water of life. Right? Any man drink shall not thirst. It shall really truly apply to all eternity. It is true. Hunger no more, just simply because Christ is there. We shall thirst no more, just simply because the Lamb of God is there. That will be the life that awaits the saints, preserved from the wrath of God. Who are those that will experience the wrath of God? Those who are still unbelieving. Not only will they experience what is found in Revelation chapter 6, if they happen to be part of those times, right, during the Great Tribulation. But when it comes to Revelation chapter 20, when it talks about the judgment of the lake of fire, that judgment awaits them. It is not this scene. They are not preserved. They are not protected. But we are. And this should be the encouragement for us today who stand for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is why the parenthesis in Revelation chapter 7 is so important. Digression, yes, but a necessary digression. To tell us, when we see all these seals, all these seal judgments, who is it meant for? Because the sight of it, the judgment of it is so awesome. But when it comes to Revelation chapter 7, the saints, this is not meant for us. And so we must thank God. Yet at the same time, have the right response. Greater devotion, and thank God that for his salvation, at the same time, when we talk about the vindication of the saints, whereby the wrath of God is poured upon the unbeliever, please don't rejoice and laugh as though it is something that is so funny, like the way the world will say, very good revenge is well formed for you. It's nothing funny. It's something that is serious. It's something that is very, very fearsome. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that the lessons that we have learned today concerning thy special preservations of the saints will truly fill our heart with much love for thee. That as we walk here on this earth, we will not forget thy love for us, and that we will truly live every moment of every day for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.